BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, as we announced yesterday, due to the time-sensitive material that was covered at our most recent VCY rally in September 2024, we have expedited the content into production that we might rebroadcast the information in record time so that you, our listeners, might be better equipped for these crucial days and weeks ahead. Crucial because America is still free, at least for a little while longer. If you were listening yesterday, Gary was explaining the specifics on this recent Summit of the Future enacted by the UN, which desires global control by globalist elites. Or as they put it, the Summit of the Future is a high-level event bringing world leaders together to forge an international consensus on how to deliver a better present to safeguard the future. Effective global cooperation is increasingly critical to our survival, but difficult to achieve in an atmosphere of mistrust, using outdated structures that no longer reflect today's political and economic realities. In short, friends, see, America is an outdated structure. It needs to adapt the globalist mindset. During these summits, a pact for the future, a globalist digital compact, and a declaration on future generations has been presented, even adopted. In our time today, we continue listening to Gary Kaa's presentation, The Globalist Agenda Exposed. Now, we looked at a lot of this yesterday, and in our time together today, we'll hope to finish listening to all of Gary's presentation, and then, of course, tell you how you can get a copy of this for yourself and for your family and friends. We left off yesterday with Gary explaining the treaty, one part of it anyway, from this Summit of the Future.
Right now, I'd like to walk you through some of the specific plans and details of this summit and the pact, the agreement that they are proposing, which is really a treaty. As the revised draft of the Pact for the Future, the summit's core document, states, quote, "Our challenges are deeply interconnected and far exceed the capacity of any single state, meaning country, alone. They can only be addressed collectively," end quote. You've heard the mantra before, global problems demand global solutions. Well, this is them putting that on steroids. Thus, the United Nations must be reformed to meet these international challenges. So goes the narrative and propaganda. So toward that end, almost 60 action points are laid out in their working document. These are areas of agreement to be committed upon by national representatives tomorrow and the next day. Here are a few examples from that draft in their own words. They say, quote, "Plan for the future and strengthen our collective efforts to turbocharge the full implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development by 2030 and beyond. Secondly, fulfill our commitment to comply with the decisions of the International Court of Justice in any case to which our state is a party." Again, when they say state, they mean country. Third, address the challenges posed to international peace and security by adverse climate and environmental impacts. Fourth, support the Secretary General to strengthen the United Nations' role in science, technology, and innovation. Fifth, strengthen the United Nations system. And sixth, accelerate the reform of the international financial architecture so that it can meet the challenge of climate change. These are some of the most important things. They want to tie everything in with the environment. and set up a bunch of restrictive rules, and countries or individuals who do not abide by them will be severely penalized, and it will become almost impossible for them to function. So a lot of this is moving forward in the name of the environment and also health management. The draft offers pages and pages of recommendations, including taxation coordination between member countries and exploring, quote, options for international cooperation on the taxation of high net worth individuals, end quote. And they also talk about universal health coverage internationally. So all this has to be paid for somehow. If you have a whole new layer of government at the international level, we're going to be taxed for it to make it possible. And they talk a lot about that as well. From global economic governance to supporting indigenous spiritual culture to tightening the relationship between the UN and regional authorities, the list of recommendations and proposals is long. But the bottom line is this: the UN wants to be fully empowered and in turn to manage a range of complex issues at the global level. Supporters of UN empowerment are referring to this as UN 2.0. Like all other UN summits, there is more to the picture. An extensive preparation process usually precedes main events like this. Actors in this process involve special interest groups, non-governmental organizations, academic associations, and international institutions. Conferences take place both within and outside the UN system, and reports are compiled and published, and momentum is generated as these different players stretch the boundaries and push the agenda forward, all in advance of a summit such as the one that's getting ready to start. So there are so many organizations involved in this behind the scenes. We had to decide on a few of them to share as an example of what they're up to. So the first one of these is the Vatican. On March 4th and 5th, the Vatican's Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences hosted a workshop on the Summit of the Future with participation from the Muslim Council of Elders, regional and global banking representatives, including some from Inter-American Development Bank, the World Bank, and the African Development Bank, along with former and current UN officials, governmental ministers, and academic experts. As the workshop agenda book describes it, I quote, "At the very heart of Pope Francis's messages in the past decade has been the urgent need for a strengthened multilateralism to address the growing ecological and social crises of our age," end quote. We've been aware for years and have been reporting on it as tactfully as we can that Pope Francis is actively supporting this agenda. He even has some of his own representatives he sends to the annual meetings of the World Economic Forum. Many of my Catholic friends have become aware of that and are trying to take a stand, but it's very difficult through the mass media. It's just certain things they won't touch, and this is one of them. The second organization I want to touch on, very powerful behind the scenes, is called the Climate Governance Commission, or the CGC, the Climate Governance Commission. The CGC is a working group attached to a larger body known as the Global Governance Forum. In 2023, the CGC issued a report titled Governing Our Planetary Emergency, paid in part by the Rockefeller Foundation, which examined the climate change agenda in the light of future governance. You might say future world governance. The report specifically highlighted the Summit of the Future, along with other UN events, as a milestone to, quote, move the planet through a swift and just global transition, end quote. They want to make this happen fast before people wake up to it. Here are a few of their suggestions from that report. Again, This is a summary, but largely in their own words. Number one, establish a global environmental agency to serve as the central node for climate and for the general global environmental earth system governance. Second, establish an international court for the environment, which would work alongside the global environment agency. Third, reform the global financial architecture to ensure that the financial system pursues climate, planetary boundary, and development goals in parallel. Such a restructuring would compel private companies to partner with governments and align their productivity and profits with planetary goals at the international level as set by the international community, meaning the UN and their accomplices. Fourth, creation of a United Nations Parliamentary Assembly that could be strengthened over time to become a world parliamentary body, much as the Common Assembly of the European Coal and Steel Community evolved into the European Parliament. Their words. So they want an international parliament at the UN. Fifth, funding for the United Nations. If the UN is to become the primary mechanism to manage Earth, then it will need its own funding. With that in mind, the CGC recommends a global value-added tax or a fee on international monetary transactions, with the money collected being allocated to the UN. And I might add, that's just the beginning. I've seen at least six or seven different kinds of taxes being discussed that they want to levy, including an income tax eventually, a global income tax. That alone would cause most people to strongly oppose this. But again, people don't even know about. In fact, just a bit of a rabbit trail. We've been out there for almost a year, along with Michelle Bachman, a few other people, trying to call attention to these developments. This week on Wednesday, for the first time, there was a press briefing that involved a few members of Congress, including Ronnie Jackson of Texas, who spoke out strongly against these developments and what is being proposed at the Summit of the Future. But it didn't happen until this Wednesday, and the meeting starts tomorrow, because our elected officials in Washington didn't even know about it. Or if they did know about it, they didn't take it seriously until right now. So all of this is going to be thrust upon the American people quite rapidly, unless God intervenes really and does a miracle in the next couple of days. That's why I'm bringing this to you tonight, so that you can be in prayer about this and also contact all of your elected officials, especially at the state level, and tell them not to support any of these things and to inform members of Congress, if necessary, to pull out of the UN.
Keep in mind, this Summit of the Future is actually already past. But friends, are we awake yet? And isn't it interesting what Gary had to say about this global tax? A global income tax? Please allow a little sarcasm. Sure, sign me up. Not. You see why it is so important that we be awake and understanding what global elites are trying to do to this country, and how many among us, even in our houses of government, are going right along with it.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is any progress being made in cloning attempts?
Chris, there is a lot of work in cloning going on these days, but all is not so rosy in clone land. Often when clones are born, they exhibit diseases which normally are restricted to older specimens. For instance, Dolly the sheep, the first mammal cloned, died of old age about the same time as her mother died of old age. Recently, four cloned pigs all died of old age-related diseases within 6 months of being born. This should make us stop and think before cloning humans. Are we going to have elderly babies? It's not really known yet. There are a lot of good reasons not to go ahead with human cloning. This is just one of them. It's best to go back to Genesis and recognize that humans are created in the image of God and therefore deserve protection.
Visit our website at www.icr.org.
Thank you.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America radio network, and this is day two of our broadcast of Gary Kaa's presentation, The Globalist Agenda Exposed, from our most recent VCY America rally held in Southeast Wisconsin. Just before the break, Gary was naming organizations that are helping to usher in the globalist elite mindset. A mindset, by the way, that leaves no room for America and its constitution. The first two organizations that Gary mentioned were the Vatican and, second, the CGC. That's short for Climate Governance Commission. Now, a third organization.
Very quickly, a third organization that's been involved in promoting all of this in a major way is the Foundation for European Progressive Studies. This is a progressive left think tank that works with other policy groups and high-level European Union actors. It recommended the following. I'm just going to mention three of their points. Number one, give the UN General Assembly new powers, allowing it to pass resolutions on conflicts without waiting for Security Council approval. Secondly, upgrading the UN Economic and Security Council to become an executive council, thus making it operational to deal with non-military challenges at the international level. And third, establish a UN environmental agency with supranational and binding authority. And those are their words. So again, all these organizations holding up the UN, the one thing they're all in agreement on is making the environment the central issue in bringing this about. The argument is the world's falling apart, we're all going to die in a few years, so we need a world government to manage the world for us so that this doesn't happen. What is the goal? Again, enforceable global control to move past the current world order in which nations cooperate voluntarily into a system where planetary authority is established and strictly enforced. By the way, the list of crises that could extend emergency authority to the UN through this summit and pact, if it is ratified, are not limited to a pandemic, but can include a major climate event, a global digital disruption, which by that I think they mean like a cyber attack or an EMP strike, a major event in outer space, among other unforeseen risks. Their words. So the sky is the limit as to what could be construed as an emergency. It could be almost anything. Not only that, but once enacted, the UN could extend its emergency powers for as long as it deems necessary, which could be indefinitely. In light of these developments, the possibility of a planned pandemic or a combination of crises looms quite large. The powers that be mean business. The next major event, I believe, will not be a trial run. They will be going for it all, especially if they feel their momentum is beginning to slip away due to growing resistance in the U.S. and elsewhere as people wake up. They have a window of opportunity to implement their one-world agenda while Biden or Harris is president and Francis is pope. They have everything aligned right now, and that's why they're going for it all. They don't want to lose momentum. I mentioned a few moments ago the possibility of a cyber attack targeting our power grid. But the stage is being set for an even bigger, more catastrophic crisis intended to finally bring in the new world order. I referred to this coming world crisis in my book, En Route to Global Occupation, on pages 144 and 145. We were trying to get people's attention on this 32 years ago. The stuff I warned about back then is coming to fruition very quickly now. In a letter to the Italian revolutionary leader Giuseppe Mazzini, dated August 15th of 1871, Albert Pike, who was the leader of the Illuminists' activities in the United States at the time, described a distant final war which he felt would be necessary to usher in the new world order. He wrote, I quote him directly, "We shall unleash the nihilists," which is another word for terrorists, "and the atheists, and we shall provoke a great social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to all nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery and of most bloody turmoil. Then, everywhere, the people, forced to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. And the multitudes, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will be from that moment on without direction and leadership, anxious for an ideal but without knowledge where to send their adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer brought finally out into public view. A manifestation which will result from a general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time." End quote. Should such a crisis be permitted to occur, the amount of destruction would be staggering. Humanity would tremble with fear, believing that man is about to destroy himself. For even if Russia or the United States were eliminated as military powers, over 30 other countries would still have nuclear capacity. It would be a time of despair and mass confusion. Add to this the resulting chaos of global financial markets. The economic turmoil would only contribute to the world's state of panic. Man would be disillusioned and searching for answers. Many would blame God for the devastation, not even considering the fact that it was man's own wickedness and willingness to be deceived that brought it all about. For one professing to provide the solutions, the time would be ripe. If you're wondering what the actual theology is behind these high-level globalist players, the theological dogma at the highest levels of the global secret societies was explained in the instructions issued by Albert Pike on July 14, 1889, to the 23 Supreme Councils of the world. His words were recorded by A.C. de la Rive, a Frenchman, on page 588 of his book, where he exposed all of this. This is very heavy and dark, I want to warn you, but I feel like the hour is so late, we need to know where these people are coming from, what they actually believe. And once you understand this, you'll understand why things are going the way in the world today as they are. Here's his quote. "If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, the God of the Christians, whose deeds prove his cruelty, perfidy, and hatred of man, barbarism and repulsion for science, would Adonai and his priests calumniate him? Yes, Lucifer is God, and unfortunately Adonai is also God. For the eternal law is that there is no light without shade, no beauty without ugliness, no white without black, for the absolute can only exist as two gods, darkness being necessary to light, to serve as its foil, as the pedestal is necessary to the statue and the brake to the locomotive. In analogical and universal dynamics, one can only lean on that which will resist. Thus, the universe is balanced by two forces which maintain its equilibrium, the force of attraction and that of repulsion. These two forces exist in physics, philosophy, and religion. And the scientific reality of the divine dualism is demonstrated by the phenomena of polarity and by the universal law of sympathies and antipathies. That is why the intelligent disciples of Zoroaster, as well as after them the Gnostics, the Manichaeans, and the Templars, have admitted as the only logical metaphysical conception the system of the two divine principles fighting eternally, and one cannot believe the one inferior in power to the other. Thus, the doctrine of Satanism is a heresy, and the true and pure philosophic religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai. But Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil. End quote. So if you're wondering why it seems as if, especially during the last 10 or 15 years, almost in an exponential kind of way, good has suddenly become evil, and what was once evil is now being considered as good. It's as if everything has been turned on its head, and it's gone very quickly. And it leads to utter lawlessness. In fact, in the NIV, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Antichrist is referred to as the man of lawlessness. At the highest levels, these people have convinced themselves that Lucifer is God and that they are working to help liberate mankind from the bondage that Adonai, the God of the Christians and Jews, have placed mankind under through the commandments and the regulations for leaving, for living, because God, as our Creator, knows what's best for us, right? So any commandments He's given us or rules for living, they're intended for our best. When you take them away from society, everything begins to crumble. And we're seeing that today. Our society is falling apart. And it's because of the beliefs at the highest levels that are driving this. And so today you have a lot of naive people at the grassroots level promoting this agenda, thinking they're doing a good thing to help save the planet, and they don't realize they're literally helping to set the stage for a one-world government that eventually will be under the control of the Antichrist, which, thank God, Jesus will return and destroy when He comes back. This is an all-out spiritual battle being played out in our physical realm, and it's coming to a head quickly.
You may be wondering, does all of this really impact me? And that is an honest and great question. But think about it this way. How does global control over America impact not just you, but your kids and your grandkids? The UN is all excited about it, saying they've adopted the potentially game-changing Pact for the Future by consensus, with a small group of just 7 countries holding out, having failed to pass a last-minute amendment. The centerpiece of the Summit of the Future is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to reimagine the multilateral world system to steer humanity on a new course, to meet existing commitments, and solve long-term challenges. Keep in mind, this Summit of the Future, that has now already passed, did have opposition, but it wasn't led by us. Stay with us, there is more to come. DVD copies of The Globalist Agenda Exposed are available when you call during normal business hours, 1-800-729-9829. You can also visit vcy.org. Audio CDs are also available.
Imagine if you could change society's stance on abortion.
How do you feel about the issue of abortion?
I think in some situations, it can be necessary.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
Would you ever vote for someone who is for the killing of children in the womb?
No.
I believe in someone's right to choose.
So you're going to change your stance on it?
Yeah, it's definitely making me think, yeah.
What was the compelling question to change people's minds on abortion? From Ray Comfort comes the DVD 180, featuring street interviews in which people who were pro-abortion changed 180 degrees to pro-life.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
180 is available for a donation to VCY of just $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD 180. You may be one of the many who are just now tuning in. You missed the entire first half of today's broadcast, and possibly even all of yesterday's the same, which was part one of Gary Kaa's presentation, The Globalist Agenda Exposed. The Globalist Agenda Exposed. Now, I guess there could be some other titles to this. How about America's Enemies Show Their Cards? Or maybe Satan's End Game, which actually goes along quite well with the prior segment where Brother Kaa was explaining the wickedness of our day. But the greater point, God's people. And if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, that's you. God's people, we need not be afraid. We need not be confused or lose 1 ounce of peace, though this whole world begins falling apart. And that's Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Even if, and God forbid, but even if America's sovereignty, the power to rule ourselves, were that to be taken away, again, God forbid, your God, our Father God in heaven, is sovereign. He will not be voted out. He will not be overthrown or cast aside. And let's remember this too. While America is a great place to call home, I'm blessed, I'm proud to be an American. But as Christians, we know that we are not home yet. This world is not my home, we are only passing through. But what do you say that we help some others get on board with that as well? And that'll lead us now to the concluding comments from Gary Kaa's presentation.
So, any commandments he's given us or rules for living, they're intended for our best. When you take them away from society, everything begins to crumble. And we're seeing that today. Our society is falling apart. And it's because of the beliefs at the highest levels that are driving this. And so today you have a lot of naive people at the grassroots level promoting this agenda, thinking they're doing a good thing to help save the planet. And they don't realize they're literally helping to set the stage for a one-world government that eventually will be under the control of the Antichrist, which, thank God, Jesus will return and destroy when he comes back. This is an all-out spiritual battle being played out in our physical realm, and it's coming to a head quickly. 2.5 years ago, in March of 2022, I did a program with Curtis Bowers, who some of you know, he's a Christian documentary producer. And a gentleman was listening to the program who got in touch with him after hearing it and said, "It's urgent that I talk to Gary. Can you put me in touch with him?" So Curtis got in touch with us and said, "Is it okay if I put the two of you in touch with each other?" I said, that's fine. Long story short, and we'll call this man John. We talked a few days later for about an hour. And he had a legitimate environmental concern because of something that happened on his property. A legitimate environmental concern. So he took the case to certain environmental organizations in his area. And over a period of time, he was drawn into the broader environmental movement and eventually realized that it had, in effect, become one with the One World Movement. So once he discovered that, him being a believer, he decided to play along with it for a while to see where this would lead. Eventually, his main mentor ended up being one of the top leaders in the World Economic Forum. And just a couple of weeks before I did the program with Curtis and before our conversation over the phone, he had had lunch with this individual. And he decided during that lunch to ask a carefully worded question of this gentleman with the World Economic Forum. And it went something like this. As rapidly as things are moving forward, do you think that the Great Reset might take a big lunge forward yet this year, meaning 2022? He barely had the words out of his mouth. And the gentleman said, 2024, 2024, very insistently, telling him that they were targeting the year 2024 for something big. And so we've known for 2.5 years and have had an extra sense of urgency because we knew they were going to target the year 2024. Now, I have never, ever set dates because to do so denies the God factor, right? Because God can intervene. And so we really encourage people to stay away from that. But having said that, it's still helpful to know what our adversaries are planning, right? So that we can effectively take a stand against it. So sure enough, here we are in 2024. They had the World Health Assembly in May, made some progress on that, didn't get everything they wanted, and now tomorrow and the next day, they have this Summit of the Future at the UN, which is nothing short of an international world government power grab. And who knows what will happen between now and the election or shortly afterwards if things don't go the way they want to see them go. That's why I say these next 4 months, it's time to be on our knees in prayer that God would intervene. But if things don't change, we have to be ready as Christian believers for the sake of our families and for our friends to be ready for a difficult scenario that might hit us. You know, our believer Christian friends in China, look at what they're going through and have gone through over the years. And they are no less important to the Lord than we are. And if it can happen there, it could happen here in the U.S. as well. So, time for America may indeed be short. It's impossible to know exactly what the next few months will bring. So let's continue to hope and pray for the best and do what we can to stand against evil and for righteousness. This includes voting for the best candidates who will protect our freedoms . So again, do not let anything keep you from voting. If you've never voted before, you still have time to register right now and to vote. Wisconsin is such a critical swing state. A few hundred votes could determine the outcome of the election in November, so every single vote counts. Given the chaos and disarray on so many fronts, the chances of a major global crisis occurring soon are significant and growing. This is reality. We cannot deny it. But even more real is the fact that we are immensely loved by a Savior who came to die in our place so that we might not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus truly is the only hope for this fallen world. He's the only hope for each of us. When things around us seem to be spinning out of control, we need to keep trusting in the one who holds eternity, including our personal future, in his hands. I'd like to close with the following uplifting passages of Scripture. They come from Romans 8 and 12, 2 Corinthians 4, and 1 Peter 1. Paul wrote, "Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Therefore, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And Peter said, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." Jesus, not Lucifer or his wicked followers, holds the key to eternity. Aren't you glad of that? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope that we have in you.
And with that exhortation, Gary Kaa concluded his message, The Globalist Agenda Exposed. Yes, today is part two, or day two, of our efforts to broadcast the message again in its entirety. Now, you may remember, this was our most recent VCY rally held back on September the 21st in Southeast Wisconsin, which was, yes, first broadcast live that night on the VCY America radio network. An interesting side note, at the beginning of the night, Gary reminisced a little bit about his first VCY rally.
It was 32 years ago, I think, this month, that I was here in this building for the first time and did a rally, which makes me feel really old. Or another way of saying it is Jim and I were really young back then. but we do go back a long way. And my first book came out right at the end of 91, early 92. And I did some crosstalk programs that very first year. And it was not long after that that I did the first program with Jim as a co-host. So we do go back a long, long way. We think a little bit alike. When we were in Mitchell, South Dakota, we hadn't seen each other in a couple years, and we walked in wearing the exact same clothes, down to the tie and the tennis shoes and everything. It's quite amazing. A lot of things in common. Anyway, so much has happened since the 90s, but especially in the last few years.
And then, of course, that is how Gary Kaa began his presentation that evening. And we certainly thank him and his wife, Audrey, for the time they shared with us and for what they continue doing for God's people. You can learn more about their ministry at GaryKaa.org. Gary Kaa, KAH.org. Now, this entire presentation is available on DVD when you go to VCY.org. VCY.org. Or you can also call our switchboard during normal business hours, 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. Audio CDs for the home or the car are also available. This is an excellent and timely resource in helping us better understand the times in which we are living and should definitely move us Christians to pray and be a witness for Jesus Christ in these last days. Well, stand by. A lot has happened since Gary's presentation here in Milwaukee back on September the 21st. Things he was talking about then were future and have since already come and gone. Kind of like that summit of the future. What are the next steps? Well, until Gary Kaa joins us again here on Crosstalk, you know that Jim Schneider will keep us all informed. Speaking of Jim, stand by. He'll join us for our final segment.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. This week, there was a very important case before the U.S. Supreme Court. The ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, is arguing a new rule known as readily convertible. And what it means is if you could readily convert your semi-automatic AR-15 into a machine gun, it should be confiscated. If you could take your shotgun and have a short barrel put on, even cut it off and make it a short barrel, it should be confiscated. Same thing with your rifle. So before the U.S. Supreme Court today, there were gun rights attorneys arguing that this new readily convertible test would wreak havoc on our Second Amendment rights. It's time for Christians, pastors, Americans to understand we have God-given rights of self-defense. It's in the Bible. Only a wicked government seeks to disarm its people so they can carry out their brutality and murder. There is a biblical worldview to be applied here. Let's do it.
We are back on the VCY America Radio Network. Final segment, second day of covering our most recent VCY rally with Gary Cobb, the globalist agenda exposed. And just before that last break there, I said we would be joined by the host of Crosstalk, Jim Schneider. And, well, that is exactly who is now with us in studio. So, Jim, we welcome you back here. It has been a big couple of days here trying to get through the entirety of that rally.
Yes, the information there was just so impactful and rather overwhelming at times. I mean, there's so much information, and even as you were thinking about airing this rally here on Crosstalk, can we air it, you know, cut it down to one day? The answer was no. There's so much material, we really needed to feature it. And those who've stayed with us the last couple of days know that this is very impactful information.
For us here, it was a special time, really even of some reflection, as Gary Caw and his wife Audrey were able to join us here in Milwaukee once again. And he had just mentioned, we looked back at his recalling 32 years ago when he first came to Milwaukee and spoke at the Waukesha Expo.
Well, and Dalton, many, many years ago on Crosstalk, when his book just came out and Road to Global Occupation, we featured him more than once. He had a lot of information, and he was one of the early pioneers in giving warning to our country as to where we're heading toward this global governance.
You know, when Gary was with us here last month, he was explaining to us in detail about what was future then, which we now know as past, in this summit of the future. Jim, you've now done a couple of programs here on Crosstalk regarding that, continuing to unpack what all that has going for it.
We have, and it is alarming. The more you read about it, the more you learn about it, the more you look at the UN documents, the more alarming it becomes, because it really focuses, I really believe it's targeted at the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Our Constitution is unique from any other government in this world.
Correct.
And they have to undo this Constitution. And this pact that they would have at the United Nations, the summit of the future that they have put about, really decimates our United States Constitution. No to nationalism, yes to globalism.
As we've been talking about this this rally and going over it here the past couple of days, I said, you know, we really could have set this up a couple of different ways. The title of this is The Globalist Agenda Exposed. We could have called it this: America's Enemies Show Their Cards. Or Satan's End Game. Because what we're talking about here, Jim, may be going over a lot of folks' head because they're not hearing all of it, maybe bits and pieces here or there, but we're really getting down to the end of this thing.
We are, and really Satan's plan is to thwart God's plan.
Correct.
And we know he's not going to do that. But certainly and Scripture tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, our adversary, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And certainly he's doing that, trying to thwart God's plan. But what was once in secret is now really open through these documents and through these proceedings that are going on.
And you have told us recently on this program about they're not hiding it. Like you say, you can go look at it on the website.
Right.
You can see everything they're planning.
You print it all off. You can go through with a highlighter, and it gets more shocking sentence by sentence, because it's very much in the open. And their agenda is not clouded any longer. They're being very forthright in what they're seeking to do.
And listening, friends, that truly is a future for the world without America, and without America's Constitution, without our founding documents that our founders gave to us, this country that we love. They've got to go away from all of that, because it's those outdated prototypes, if you will, those no longer apply to our modern challenges.
That's right. They got a new challenge, the United Nations 2.0. Even as a recent guest, Alex Newman, that we had on recently on Crosstalk, spoke about. But certainly, and you were pointing us in the right direction, our eyes must be heavenward focused at such a time as this. There are those who are trying to thwart his plan from coming into being, but God's in control. He's the one who has laid out, and what he has ordained is indeed going to come to pass. We need to continue to be faithful in following him.
We feel the loss, or the fear of losing our sovereignty here as a country. Jim, even if that does happen, we know that God is sovereign.
That's right.
We know that he will not be voted out. He will not be cast aside. But all the same, we as Christians,
what a shame if we lose all of this under our watch.
Yeah. It's been entrusted to us even by past generations. And I think also, Dalton, of our heritage that we have in Christianity as well, and the importance for us right now of that of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ, to spread the good news of the gospel. This world is heading one direction, and people need to be warned and knowing that one's eternal destiny either is in heaven or in hell.
Correct. Jim, as you know, we're out of time here on the end of this broadcast here today, but this entire rally, these last 2 days that we've covered, the globalist agenda exposed, we do have that available on audio CD, or we always prefer to mention the DVD if folks would like to see the entire presentation. Mm-hmm. That all of that's available through our ministry.
Right, and just calling the switchboard at 800-729-9829. They can give you the details. But we need to get the information out. It needs to be exposed. People need to know what is taking place. But all the urgency of getting out the gospel in such a time as this is critical.
So important. So important. And we know that this globalist agenda is pointing toward that eventual one world government and that one world leader that will come out on the scene, Jim, and will seemingly have all the answers to all of America's problems. But that certainly is a wolf in sheep's clothing, right?
And the people will throng after him. And just as the nations of the world are thronging after this new document, you know, just wonderful for the world to have this pass. But indeed, there is great warning, and wolf in sheep's clothing is an adequate picture here.
But as Christians, we are not looking for the Antichrist. That spirit is easy to see in our country and in our world today. But we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We're watching for him.
Keep our eyes focused on him indeed.
The Globalist Agenda Exposed with our speaker, Gary Kah. Again, give us a call during business hours, 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. Requesting a DVD or an audio CD. And you can share this with family and friends as soon as possible. Jim, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us here. And listening friend, thank you for coming along as we wrap up here on today's edition of Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.